This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
Yep, I am happy. Five games on the road, 7 points, big wins against some big teams. Good evening. Welcome to another episode of Flames Unfiltered, episode number 45, as we cruise through the NHL season. Season is flying by. We're at March 1st, already a Sunday evening after a Flames victory in Florida today, and wow, this season is flying by. And I'm not going to lie, I am very happy with this team right now. I'm a little worried about the goaltending, but overall, I'm fairly happy. No, we're not out of the woods yet, but when you pick up 7 out of 10 points on a critical, critical road trip, I'm happy. 5 games over 9 days where you're traveling as far as you possibly can from Calgary, and you come away 3-1-1. Hey, I'll take that. I think every one of us would have taken that heading into this road trip. Backlund's been flat out amazing. Giordano comes back against Nashville, looks very solid. Had a great game today against Florida. Mangiapane's been, he's trying to prove me wrong, man. I've ripped him so many times on the show this year, telling everybody he's overrated, and then he goes and does this. I'm happy. I love the guy. He's doing good. And then the goaltending. Well, I don't know if I feel too comfortable right now, and we'll talk a little bit about that more in the show later on. But if they can get it going and we can shore up this defense just a little bit, nothing fancy, just play some solid hockey, we're going to get into the playoffs. We're going to get in. On the episode today, we're going to recap the final 3 games of this long, long road trip. And then we'll talk defensive pairings now, and then how they'll look and adapt as the season goes on in the push to the playoffs. Who's the starting goalie on this team? Lots of people in Calgary disagree on this one right now. I'll give you my take on who I think is the starting goalie, who should be the starting goalie, and then we'll talk some Flames news, Harvey's Doghouse, fan question, and we'll wrap with a preview of Wednesday night's matchup at the Saddle Dome when the Columbus Blue Jackets come to town.
The Hockey Podcast Network, which Flames Unfiltered is very proud to be a part of, has a great podcast called Ice Analytics. It's a deep dive into hockey analytics, statistical analysis, and how it affects your favorite team. Standings, trades, signings, it's all on Ice Analytics on the Hockey Podcast Network.
Every team, everywhere, the Hockey Podcast Network.
All right, Flames fans, 3 games to recap. 3 road games. 3 stressful road games. But quite honestly, this whole road trip, I stayed pretty happy with this team. I really did. In Nashville on Thursday night. All right, what do we expect when we go to Nashville? What do we expect anytime we play Nashville? It's going to be flat out crazy. And it was. Quite honestly, I thought it was a pretty strong effort from the Flames. It seems like it was a long time ago. It was Thursday. It seems like a long time ago. But we had a little bit too many defensive turnovers that night. I thought Rittich was pretty good that night. Pretty good. But you know what? It ended up being another wild one. First period, Colton Sisson gets on the board. Like, late, 32 seconds left in the period, we're 1-0 Nashville. And then Rasmus Anderson gets on the board just to start off the second period, 26 seconds in. Backlund follows that one up with his 15th of the year at the 3:48 mark. And we're cooking with fire. You know, things were looking really, really good. And then at the, then the third period happened, and we're 2-1 Calgary, and everything's looking great. And then Roman Josi scores. He was 15th of the year at the 14:30 mark, and everybody in Calgary was just like, oh, here we go. It's 2-2, and I'm thinking, crap, we're going to squander this point, 2 points here on a critical game. We're just coming off a huge win against Boston. It's like, goal. And then Michael Backlund comes to the table again. And this guy has been flat out ridiculous. If he continues to play this well, what can this do for us down the playoff stretch? Guys, this is a Michael Backlund we've never seen before in my mind. He's had flashes, but he was good at this whole road trip, I thought. Maybe a little bit quiet today against Florida on a Sunday, but as a whole, I thought he was pretty good the whole road trip. But this play he set up with 50 seconds to go, not even 50, 43 seconds to go, where he cut through, toe-dragged it, fed it over to Mangiapane, and he bangs home his 16th for a 3-2 Calgary lead. And I was through the roof. I tweeted that that was the goal of the year. And no, I tweeted it was the most important goal of the year. And I don't know that I don't still stand beside that. It was big time. It was right up there with Tkachuk's between the legger. It was. Then you look at what happens in the final 0.1 seconds to go. Granlund stuffs it past Rittich. I thought it was just a total cluster in front of the net. I don't know if I can blame it on Rittich. I can't blame it on Rittich. What am I talking about? That'd be silly. Maybe attention to detail. You know, I don't know that this is a loss that you can pin on a player. I think it kind of unraveled and was just kind of unlucky too. But Nashville scores with 0.1 seconds to go. It went in the net. There was nothing wrong with it. It's a legal goal. I saw a lot of people on Twitter complaining about the different things, and I think it was Calgary Flames fans that were just flat out mad and maybe being irrational. It happens. I get that way too. Frustrating. I thought maybe this one, I thought Rittich maybe should have held his ground a little bit stronger. He looked like he was flailing a little bit. But then, you know, I was a little surprised too that just kind of just the way it all went down. It just looked really lackluster. Anyways, score gets tied 3-3. And then you just knew the momentum was not going in the right direction. And Granlund fires home his 17th with 1:20 to go in overtime. And Nashville wins it 4-3. And Flames fans were really pissed after this game. And I'm not saying I was happy, but I don't know that this is one you want to like flip out too hard on. I didn't think it was that bad of an effort. I was a little bit miffed on some of the defensive plays and wasn't really happy with them, but God, we got a point out of it. And I was fairly happy. Calgary heads down to Tampa Bay, gets Friday off, Saturday afternoon matchup in Tampa Bay against probably one of the most potent teams in the league. I didn't think it was Calgary's best effort. I didn't think it was horrible. I thought David Rittich struggled terribly. I'm not sugarcoating it. I'm telling it like it is. I know I want as much as all of you do for him to shine and be our starter and carry us into the playoffs and perform well, but he wasn't good, guys. He wasn't good. Tyler Johnson scores first. It's 1-0 after one. Plot Gord score midway through the second. It's 3-0. And at that point, I was like, this one's, I didn't want to say it was over, but I sure didn't feel real confident. Calgary did come back. Mangiapane, guy's on fire. He gets his 17th. He's bad news, Flames fans. He's arbitration eligible at the end of the year. Watch out. Money's going to be flowing his way. Mangiapane gets his 17th. It's 3-1. Lindholm just seconds later, 40 some seconds later, gets his 28th, and we're 3-2, and all of a sudden I'm like, all right, we're looking good. Killhorn gets his 24th of the year on one I didn't really like. A couple of things went wrong on that play, and we are back up to a 4-2 lead. Monahan does draw the Flames to within one a little too late in the game. It's a 17-11 mark on the power play. It's his 22nd of the year on a typical Monahan shot in the slot. It was nice. I love it when he's there. I love it when he is clicking and scoring those. And that's all. But there was a couple things that did piss me off in the final seconds. And I heard some Flames fans talking about this, and I'm going to agree with you. And I heard some of the guys on Fan 960 kind of boohooing it a little bit, not saying it was a big deal. But I'm not going to blame the loss on Jeff Ward. I don't think that's fair. I think it would be silly to go that far. But I will say that I am a little miffed on why there isn't a timeout called. Why not rest your guys? I mean, I know they had Backlund out late, but then they had Lucic. And don't freak out on me. Yes, he did get the best chance. But he didn't score. I think that you have to call a timeout there. Regroup, get your best line, your best guys out there rested, and give it a go in the final seconds. The Flames put a ton of pressure on. They had their chances, so don't get me wrong there. I just would have liked to have seen a timeout. Anyways, Flames fall, do not get any points. The only game on the road trip that they do not get any points, fall 4-3 to Tampa Bay. 24 hours later, they're in Sunrise, Florida to take on the Florida Panthers in front of 423 fans on a Sunday matinee. But this wasn't just your everyday matinee. This was 2 points Calgary desperately, desperately needed tonight or this afternoon, and they got it. And you know why they got it? They played a quiet, effective road game. Talbot, very, very solid, gets the shutout. And I was super, super happy with this play. He didn't have to make any 10 bellers, but it was because the Flames played a very, very solid defensive game. Johnny Gaudreau gets on the scoring, 6:21 in on the power play, his 17th of the year, assist from Lindholm Giordano. Then, at the 3:10 mark of the second, Lucic scores on a great play by Derek Ryan, who has been a little quiet as of late, struggling just a little bit. But Derek Ryan gets a nice pass out to Milan Lucic. He gets his 7th. Giordano with another assist. Then TJ Brody kind of seals the deal on a nice shot with 1:09, just starting in the third period. Fires a snapshot from the point. Gets through traffic. It looked like maybe initially it was tipped. It was not. He gets his 2nd of the year assist from Giordano again. And Gaudreau. And hey, that's a good win, guys. That's a really good win, even though we're outshot in the game. But, man, Florida's shot count guy was ridiculously helpful for the home team. Let's put it that way. Giordano played his part in all three goals. It's the first three-point game of the season for him. He had 8 of them last year. Still not knocking him. I'm glad he's back. I'm glad he looks good. I didn't see any ill effects from the injury. Which is a little scary. You know, you got to worry a little bit at his age, how he's going to come back, how he's going to be able to bounce back from an injury like he had. That's scary. I mean, you know, anytime you have a guy of his importance going down, and when they come back, boy, we just don't need a setback that'll slow him down heading into the playoffs. Great three games. It's always fun doing recaps when they're doing good. A lot more fun.
Inside Edge Hockey News is your source for top-notch NHL podcasts, news, and rankings. Check out InsideEdgeHockeyNews.com.
InsideEdgeHockeyNews.com.
All right, Flames fans, let's talk defensive pairings now, and then as we progress here in the future, and what's going to happen with this team. With Giordano back, we've seen Giordano back with Brody. We've seen Hanifin with Anderson. And we've seen the two new guys, Forbert and Gustafson. As a whole, I think defensively, we haven't been too bad. I didn't like us early on in the Nashville game. And I didn't like us at times during Tampa Bay, but today I was very, very impressed. Guys sitting in the stands here lately has been Shillington and Stone. So I got to thinking, where are we going to go with this? Now, Hamonic is scheduled to be back. I'm a little bit worried because we haven't been getting any updates, and that scares me just a little bit when you got a guy of his importance and we're not getting updates like we were with Gio. We kept hearing that he was progressing well and coming along, and everything looked to be falling into place. Does that mean bad news? No. I think why we're not getting so many updates on Hamonic is because they've been on the road. Getting back here now, Hamonic will be back with the team at home as he's been rehabbing. And I hopefully get a report here on Tuesday. I think the Flames are off on Monday, and we'll be back at it on Tuesday. And so hopefully we'll get an update on Hamonic real soon. But as we go, and let's say, fast forward like 4 weeks ahead when I feel like we'll have Hamonic back. How do we feel? Do we want Giordano, Brody, Hanifin, Hamonic? And then do we want Gustafson with Anderson, having Forbert and Stone sitting in the wings, and then Shillington back in Stockton? We have a lot of defensemen, and that's good because we're going to definitely need them down the stretch drive, because who knows who else will get injured. The eight ball to throw into this is there is a very slim chance that Valimaki returns to this team. Now, could you imagine having him adding into this group? That's kind of crazy to think. I don't project Valimaki back this year, even though I think he'll probably see some American Hockey League time, and I think that would probably be good for him. I'm excited. I'm excited to see where this defense goes. I'm excited in the offseason to see what UFAs get signed. I believe one of the two between Brody and Hamonic will get signed. I wouldn't mind seeing Gustafson, shoot, or even Forbert back for that matter. I don't think we'll see both of those back. But, man, you throw Valimaki into this grouping, and we've got a pretty potent defense coming into next season also. And I really liked what Brad Treliving did at the deadline by going out and getting two strong NHL defensemen to shore up that back end. I think that is going to prove to be a critical, critical move for a stretch run to the playoffs. And it's really, I mean, think about how this road trip would have gone without those two guys. Now, I'm not saying those guys stood out and were, you know, dynamite for us, but they were both solid. There was times when I got frustrated with Forbert on a few plays and Gustafson on a few plays. But you know what? Think about it, guys. There was times I remember I was mad at Hanifin and Brody. It happens. Every defenseman's going to have a blunder here or there. But as a whole, I think adding Gustafson and Forbert has been really, really good. And I think Gustafson has a really, really good upside that can help this Calgary Flames team as we make a move into the playoffs. As guys get healthy, I'm really excited to see how long Hamonic's going to be out here. And that'll help dictate and determine where things go as we head defensively down the stretch. Interesting to see what happens with Valimaki too. I can't wait to have him in the mix. I just pray for a guy that's been so injury prone that he can get past that and start making his mark in the National Hockey League next year.
NHL news, opinions, and controversy.
All right, let's talk goaltenders and who should be the starting goalie on this team. Now, you guys all, if you guys have listened to this twice a week on the Hockey Podcast Network and FlamesUnfiltered.com, you know that I've been a pro David Rittich guy. And coming into the season, one of my wishes for this team was for him to solidify himself as a number one starter in the National Hockey League. And for the most part, up until Christmas, I think he did. He was very, very good. Quite honestly, the first 3 weeks of the season, without David Rittich, this team is in a whole mess of trouble. He was the heart and soul. Well, as things have changed here a little bit, David Rittich has fallen into some struggles. He currently sits at a 2.94 goals against average and a .907 save percentage. Now, I don't like the .907. I like to see a goalie get into the 9.1s, but, I mean, he's close. You know, then you look at Talbot, and I think Talbot's been stronger than Rittich as of late. He's at a 2.7 goals against average, but a 0.919 save percentage. But you look at how they're trending, and I see Riddick has been trending down, Cam Talbot trending up. Now, which guy deserves to be in the net? I don't know. Let me give you the rundown on both guys in their last five games. Let's look at Cam Talbot first. Now, he got the start today, 38 save shutout in Florida. Obviously, very, very impressive. His last start before that was in Boston. Did not have a great night at a .826 save percentage, but the Flames win. That was February 21st against Boston. The Flames lose. February 17th, he gets a win against Anaheim. And in the Chicago game, he got pulled in that game. He was awful in that game, letting in four goals and stopping just nine. Not good in that light. And then he beats Anaheim. So a lot of people would say, well, he's beating Anaheim, and Florida. How hard is that? Riddick's getting the hard games. And I agree with you there. I don't know that Cam Talbot's the answer. But what I'm saying is, lately, I feel like Cam Talbot seems to be more calm and composed in the net. And I worry a little bit about Riddick and his mannerisms. Now, in the last five games, the Tampa game, I don't think he was horrible, but he wasn't great. A .879 save percentage in the loss. In the Nashville game on the 27th, he starts the game, doesn't last in that game. He does last in that game. It goes to a shootout, so he doesn't get a win or loss in that. .895 save percentage. I thought Riddick was pretty darn good in that game. Now, in the Boston game, I thought he was amazing. He was on fire that night. It was like he was in a zone. The Nashville game, he looked more negative. Tampa Bay looked more negative. I thought in the Boston game was one of his strongest games of the year. And I also thought he was really good in the Detroit game. And so I thought, all right, we saw Riddick two good outings in a row. Now he gets four of the five road games on this. And I thought, hey, he's rolling pretty good. The Detroit Boston was really good. But I noticed in the Nashville game and in the Tampa game that he was playing with more anger. And I kind of look at that as a sign of weakness. I want him to be fiery. I want him to show emotion. I love that about him. I think that's what got him to the National Hockey League, was that caring and that emotion. But it's okay once in a while to have an outburst and bang your stick. But I didn't think after the Nashville game that that was the time to be banging your stick. Yes, they scored with 0.1 seconds to go. Was it your fault completely? No. Should you have been positioned a little bit more stable? Yes. But it wasn't like you had a horrible outing that night. You had a .895 save percentage. Your team didn't do too bad. You got a point in Nashville on the road, on a great road trip. Like, I don't know. I want him to celebrate his emotion in a positive way. Use it for a positive. You know, when he's having fun, he wins. It's kind of like this team earlier in the year when things are really haywire. This team wasn't having fun playing, and they weren't winning. It's kind of the same with Riddick right now. He looks very, very frustrated, and I think he's frustrated with himself because I think his expectations are, like the rest of us, very, very high, and that's a good thing. But every goalie is going to go through ups and downs, and the only way to get through them is play through them. And you were doing that. He was on the road to doing that with his Detroit Boston. Now, who do you go with coming back home? Riddick's been horrible at home. Talbot's been okay. I think you go back to Riddick and you push this guy and you push him to succeed. You can tell that the team wants Riddick to shine, and they're giving him every opportunity by playing him a lot. There's 15 games. We need this guy strong going into the playoffs. Right now, I don't think he's the best of the two goalies. I think Talbot is. But there's this really, really strong dilemma. Do you go back to Talbot after the shutout today? It's hard not to. It's hard not to go back to a guy after a shutout. But probably doesn't it serve the team better if we can get Riddick going and play well in front of him? Or is it a scary one coming back home after so many days on the road and having to play at home after with all the, you know, you're home finally and you've been on the road for so long, so you have lots of things going on in your personal life when you get back home. That's a scary game coming back. Do you put Talbot in again? Now I know from information I've received that Riddick's family from the Czech is coming over either today or tomorrow, and he's going to be spending the next 2 weeks with them as the Calgary Flames are at home. Does he play better with his family there, or is that more of a distraction? I don't know. Interesting dilemma. I'm not sure who I would play come Wednesday night. But I do know one thing. Neither goalie in the last month has showed us consistency like we need. And you know what? Wasn't the Nashville game the game where Riddick could have stole the game? And he didn't do it. Last year, Riddick was very good early in the season and fizzled as the season went on. And we're seeing the same thing this year. The question is, and sadly, is David Riddick ready to be a starter in the National Hockey League? And how many more chances do the Flames give him? Is he the guy you put in net Wednesday night? My gut tells me yes. This team needs to give him a strong performance at home and needs to win a game for him on home ice. It's time for a goalie to steal a game for the Flames.
CoolHockey.com is your number one source for authentic and customized NHL jerseys. Use promo code THPN and receive 25% off your order. CoolHockey.com.
CoolHockey.com. Jerseys online since 99.
All right, Flames fans, time to run through a little bit of Flames news. Not a lot to talk about in that category, and then we'll roll on into Harvey's Doghouse. Flames news for the week. Giordano returns Thursday night in Nashville. After missing 10 games with a hamstring injury, he's been really, really good since his return. Sad news is Johnny Gaudreau's grandfather passed away Saturday evening. Our thoughts and prayers go to Johnny and his family. You can't help but feel good for him today when he scores the goal. You saw the emotion. It was a special one for Johnny Gaudreau, and our thoughts and prayers go to his family and their loss. Harvey's Doghouse. We do this every Sunday night episode. And this week, I think it's his first time making the doghouse, and it's not a good thing. But it is his first, I believe, and Dylan Dubé falls in. He's been playing on the third line with Lucic Ryan, and he's gone 7 games without a point. His last point was February 15th for Chicago, where he had 2 assists. It's 11 games without a goal. Think about that, fans. 11 games he's went without a goal. And the sad part is he's not even getting chances lately. In the last 5 games, he's only had 4 shots on net. Now, I'm a Dylan Dubé fan, and I want him up on the big club, but at what point do we give him a couple nights in the press box and see if maybe it's not a reset for the young player? I think it's time. I think it's time we just give him a little bit of a reset. I don't think he's been horrible, but I think it's time for him to like take the next step to the next level. And I think it wouldn't hurt to give him a couple nights off and maybe call up and, you know, another guy or reshuffle the lines a little bit. No, don't shuffle lines. Jeez, what the hell am I saying? I've been bitching about that all year long. Plug in a Ronaldo for one night or call up somebody, Glenn Godden or you know, Zarnik or somebody and plug him into that spot where Dubé is for a night. Give him a couple nights in the press box. Speaking of call-ups, let's move on to the fan question from Darcy Drewin. The question is, if you could make one call-up and one send-down to Stockton, what would you do? Oh, and it's easy. I would call up Austin Zarnik right now, and I would just what I was talking about. I'd plug him in, give Dubé a couple nights off, let Austin Zarnik see what he can do. In his 28 games played in Stockton this year, since coming, you know, he was up in Calgary, then went down to basically rehab after an injury, and we haven't seen him back. And I am frustrated that we haven't, because he was looking really good in the three games leading up to his injury. In Stockton this year, he's got 28 games. He's got 14 goals, 17 assists, 31 points. And tell me he couldn't fill in for Reeder or Dubé and be successful. I really hope Austin Zarnik gets a shot. My guy I would send down would be Zach Rinaldo. Yes, I know I've brought it up on previous episodes, our record with Rinaldo in the lineup and how things tend to go better when we do have Rinaldo out there and his spark and his fire. But we finally got lines stabilized right now. We finally are past the line shuffling every night. Ward finally listened to me. No, I'm just joking. He didn't probably even give it 2 cents of what I said. But I've been bitching about it all year. I think it's hard to win when you're shuffling lines every night. And I think one of the positives we've seen from this road trip and the few games leading up to it was we haven't seen that line shuffling that we were plagued with for such a long period of time. It's nice to see us have some line stability. And I think our points that we've gained in the last seven games are a reflection on line stability. Another guy I wouldn't mind seeing in the future getting called up would be a Glenn Gaudin. And I would really like to see what he brings to the table. Thanks for the questions. We love our fan questions. Every week we either do a Facebook poll or a fan question. Always some good info there. We have some great Flames fans who know a ton about this sport.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
All right, guys, kind of an easy week. I don't know. One game to preview Wednesday night. Columbus comes to town. Calgary currently sits 75 points, 34, 26, and 7. Good for third place in the Pacific. Last game was today, Sunday afternoon, 3-0 win in Florida. Columbus, on the other hand, 78 points, 32, 21, and 8. Good for fifth place in the Metro. They hold down the second wild card in the Eastern Conference. Columbus has struggled as of late, but in their last game, which was also this afternoon, or early evening here tonight on Sunday night, it was a 5-3 over Vancouver. Thank you very much, Columbus. We appreciate all the help. The season series so far this year, Calgary did win their only meeting so far back on November 2nd in Columbus. It was a 3-0 win for the Calgary Flames that night. This is the final game of the season series, and we look forward to that Wednesday night. The Pacific Division, it is shaking and moving all the time. Right now, Vegas stands in first with 80 points. Edmonton in second with 76. Calgary moves up to third with a great road trip. And you know what else? When I look at that standings, you know what other things I like to see? The goal differential finally is back to minus -5. 5-4-1 in the last 10 for the Flames. Gets them up into the third spot in the Pacific. Vancouver drops to the fourth spot with 74 points. They do have two games in hand over the Calgary Flames. And Arizona drops down to the fifth spot at 72 points. 3 points back of Calgary and the same amount of games played. In the wild card in the Pacific right now, Vancouver holds spot 1. Nashville holds spot 2. Winnipeg and Arizona are tied with them, with Nashville at 72, but fall out because Nashville has played 3 less games. Minnesota just 1 back at 71 as they've made a run lately with a 6-3-1 record in their last 10, and the Minnesota Wild will just not go away. And honestly, they still scare me. Just 4 points back of the Calgary Flames. This Western Conference playoff race is flat out of control. It has been fun to watch all year long. And in this last couple weeks, there's teams that just won't go away. Arizona, they won their last game. They won't go away. Minnesota won't go away. Winnipeg looked really good in a loss to Edmonton on Saturday night. And Nashville, well, they just beat us. So they're 6-3-1 in their last 10. This race is good, good, good. And I look forward to Columbus coming to town on Wednesday night. We'll see who gets the start in net. It should be a good night at the Saddle Dome. Get ready for some great Flames hockey this week. Great road trip. Things that are looking positive in Calgary.
Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter, at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page, at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter, at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey. Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This production is copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.